Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning and welcome to this week's segment of Blog Talk of my show, Live Without Limits. And today's guest is Jim Manton, and he's the author of the popular book, The Secret of Transitions. He's a disabled Vietnam veteran who, after being wounded and sent to an Army hospital for 18 months, bootstrapped his way to become a president in a Fortune 500 company and is currently a transition coach, helping business owners, leaders, and people from all walks of life transition to a higher level of success. I'd like to welcome you to our show, Jim, and let me first ask you, what do you mean by transition and why is that important?
Well, transitions are the most significant changes that we experience in our lives. They affect our careers, who and how we love, and I think ultimately even our most deeply held beliefs. Now, sometimes, you know, a transition happens and it feels like it's completely out of our control. We can suffer a major loss or an injury. Sometimes it's even an unforeseen windfall, but in all cases, they can be unexpected, dramatic, and powerful. Other times, though, we can take matters into our own hands rather than wait for something or someone to change. And my book, The Secret of Transitions, is a guide for creating and responding to change and how to do that with courage, vision, and purpose.
Okay, with the current job market as it is and the employment opportunities, with all of the layoffs, how is transitioning going to affect a lot of these people who are older and need to look at either getting into the job market or even possibly doing some type of business of themselves on their own?
Well, you know, oftentimes recessions or economic downturns hold some real promise. In fact, in preparing for another presentation recently, I looked back on all the recession years, and those are the years, ironically, when I started a number of either major career change or started businesses. Now, over the last 8 years or so, I'm known as being network friendly. So if someone's in transition, while I don't help people get jobs, they know they can come to me and I can help them. And I think I've probably seen about 200 people or so over the last 8 years. And that's really one of the reasons why I wrote the book, is because so many of these people I found when I asked them what they wanted were just settling. They just wanted a job. And very seldom when I asked them what their dream was or what their ideal was, that's not what they came in looking for. And I don't believe that people have to settle. I believe that a person can actually, and this is going to sound a little crazy, I suppose, but I think that people can create opportunities. I think they can create opportunities by really making powerful cases about how they can make a contribution to an organization or to a customer in the case of creating their own business.
Okay, that sounds really interesting. And I want to go back and tell you, see, I grew up with a disability, and there were no laws on the books guaranteeing people with disabilities a right to an education. So I was the only person in the school system at the time, much less classroom, with a disability. So the teachers didn't understand that cerebral palsy affects how the brain processes information, or even that, you know, I learned differently. And then I entered the workforce 12 years before ADA became law. So what happened was I was referred to rehabilitation services because my father had died and we went on Social Security. So they basically were telling me, or they were trying to pigeonhole me into a job that I really was not interested in. And what I find is that society and even your parents don't always encourage you to achieve or do what you want to do. They more or less want to script you. They want to tell you, if you remember the song, Don't Have My sons grow up to be cowboys. It's think about the scripts that people give you along the way. How do people turn around and break that and kind of learn to believe in themselves and understand how to transition into building self-confidence?
Well, I believe the first place to, when I'm coaching someone, and all the work that I do is in transitions, whether it's a leadership transition or a business transition or even a life transition, is really to tap in to their values, is to really get grounded in those core beliefs, those most deeply held, profound beliefs that people have, their values, and then really start thinking about what would be truly wonderful for them. Look at, and then within that, look at what their skills are and the risk that they're willing to take and the investment of time, energy, and money that they're willing to make. And then don't let, you know, just don't settle. You know, look for ways that you know that you can make a difference. When I was an executive, I bet I interviewed hundreds of people, and typically they would come in to me and essentially present their resume to me and wait to be discovered. I very seldom have had someone come in who said, "Jim, I've been studying your company, and I know what I'm really good at. I know what I love to do, and I truly believe I can help your company because this is what I'm willing to do, this is what I've done many times, and this is what I'm willing to learn, and I won't let you down." People just don't talk that way, and I think that's the key.
And how do people learn to, in essence, change their way of thinking?
Well, that's a very large part of coaching, and certainly one of the most powerful ways is a form of inquiry that I've used for many years, but it's actually to become, it's the stages of change, let's just call them the four A's. The first is awareness. The next is acceptance. The next is action. And the fourth is adherence. So the first is awareness, and it's actually becoming aware of those self-limiting beliefs, aware of the denial and the resistance and the fear that we all have, but then inquire into those and ask if it's really true, and then also recognize and honor those strengths and skills and gifts and passion that you have, and accept all of it. And where you find limitations, you know, if it's a physical or a mental limitation, okay, that's fine. We'll find a substitute skill to work around that. But many people have gifts and talents and strengths that they're completely unaware of. So the first stage is to become aware of self-limiting beliefs, to become aware of true weaknesses that must be overcome, and honor those strengths and put them to work. So that's the first step is awareness. So when you discover something, a self-limiting belief, when you're doing the work of starting to listen to your thoughts, then write it down and then really inquire into that and say, is that really true? Is it true that I can't, or that I'm unable, or that I'm afraid? Or is somehow this fear and resistance serving me to maybe make it safer or more comfortable for myself?
Okay, Jim, you were wounded in combat during the Vietnam War. Can you tell us more about how you transitioned from being a disabled vet to becoming the president of a Fortune 500 company and to become a transition coach and author?
Yes. You know, I didn't get off to a good start. I got kicked out of college and then drafted and sent to Vietnam, and I got shot up pretty good. I spent about 18 months in an Army hospital. And I can remember laying there in bed after a couple months thinking, wow, this doesn't look good, because at that time I had really no job skills other than, you know, just common labor. I'd worked on farms as a kid and held odd jobs like a lot of kids do, but that wasn't, I wasn't going to build a future on that. And so it really occurred to me that, you know, as I watched some of, you know, the other soldiers who are being discharged after being wounded, you know, they went into a life of drugs and living on street corners and those kinds of things. And I saw that I had a choice. And I was lucky, DeVita, because unlike you, you know, I had a family that I was the firstborn, and they had really high expectations for me. And so I think somewhere in the back of my mind, I knew that I need to take the high road.
Yeah, so I think many a time it is just, it's learning how to take control of your life and do what you want to do and what you enjoy doing, but also taking it and making a career out of it if it's something that you can take and earn a living at.
Yes, that's right. Is the first thing I did when I had that thought that it was a choice is that I asked some people in the ward there, you know, I said, can I take a correspondence course? Can I do something to learn while I'm laying here? And you know, I don't even know what possessed me, because I can't imagine why I did this, but I actually took a correspondence course in economics, of all things. But that ultimately really got me, reading about economics really got me interested in business. And after I got discharged and went back to college and earned my master's of business administration.
And what types of companies did you start, and how did that lead you into doing more coaching and getting into transitioning?
Well, when I got my MBA, I was actually recruited out of school by Johnson & Johnson, and it was really a great foundation for a young manager. But when I was 26, I realized that I wanted to do more than just work for a large corporation. So I left Johnson & Johnson, and I went out, and I bought my first business when I was 26 years old. And I found this floundering, almost out of business, printing and marketing company. And I bought that when I was 26. And then after that, I went back into the corporate world and learned some more, and had a number of adventures in high tech. But in 1989, I started two more companies. And one company was what's called a system integration company, and I worked with companies like Intel, and I also started a consulting company. And as you know, DeVita, as a businesswoman yourself, when I was 26 years old and thought I was a real hot shot, I bought that business. That's when I discovered how little I really knew about business. It can be pretty humbling. but I think that actually running that little business taught me more about business and taught me more about myself than, you know, my entire college education.
And would you suggest that anyone who actually wants to open up their own business, whether it be a storefront or something on the internet, that they get coaching along the way and support along the way from someone that has had a background in business?
Well, I sure think that's valuable. I mean, you know, it cuts both ways. I think one of the reasons I'm valuable to my clients is that I was in industry or on, you know, for at least 30 years before I started my coaching practice. And I like to say that over those 30 years, I made a lot of mistakes. And I don't know about you, but I'd rather learn from the mistakes of others than make them myself. And so I think getting a coach and getting some wisdom is really important.
Okay, many vets today are experiencing mental and emotional stress. Just as you once did, how were you able to end the emotional war that went on long after you left the combat zone?
Well, let me say that any tips I have, of course, are no help or no substitute for professional help. So if you know any veteran, any person is suffering mental or emotional stress, then the first thing I would say is get some help and listen to your family, because they're probably encouraging you to do so. And that's actually what happened to me, Davida. Many years into my career, about 20 years, 25 years as an executive, a friend of mine at lunch noticed my anger and my inappropriate behavior toward a waiter, and he recommended therapy. He shared with me how he'd had therapy and how valuable that was. And I had 10 sessions, and my therapist suspected that I was exhibiting some forms of post-traumatic stress disorder, and I stopped working with her after about 10 sessions because I didn't really have the courage to go deep enough. I was still a little bit afraid of what I'd find on the other side. So it wasn't until many years later that I started working with a coach who helped me understand the source of those beliefs and those old stories, and he helped me forgive them. And that was a very powerful moment for me to really get clear that instead of, you know, striving to be accepted by other people or look for someone else to forgive me, the first step was to forgive myself. And then the next thing I did was really look at the reality of my past without judgment or inferences or assumptions. I just looked at the facts. I got the stories out of the way. And when I did that, I saw that there was really very little that I needed to forgive. I just needed to get on with my life.
I mean, I have found that for me, since my family is very negative because in their eyes I'm handicapped,
yes,
that I have literally had to disassociate myself from them. And I have a friend that I know, she means well, but she tells me, call my mother, it's Mother's Day. And I realize my mother's 89 years old, but I can't hold a conversation with my mother because she doesn't know how to hold a conversation with anyone. If she can't be critical, she doesn't know what to say to you. So, mm-hmm. I mean, sometimes I find that in certain situations, you got to disassociate yourself from the negativity in your life, even if it's your own family. And
yes, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off, Davida.
That's what I wanted to, okay. And how would someone be able to transition from that? Because that also, in essence, can influence where they take their career in the future or the type of job they end up. And many people who become alcoholics and drug addicts are that way mainly because of their home environment that they grew up in. So
the negative environment, there's really two environments. You know, one is the environments that we find ourselves in, and the other is the environment that's between our two ears, our own thinking. And I think being, you know, one, you know, keenly aware of what energizes us and what lifts us and what moves us and the things that bring us down. And if it's people or circumstances who just don't want to change or don't want to be helpful, then I agree. Then associate with people who energize you and lift you and understand. And then also, though, get really clear about the, you know, stuff that's going on inside you, because oftentimes that negativity has a more powerful effect than the negativity you experience from others.
Yeah, and I think sometimes that's just residual that happens because even though we change ourselves, those tapes that we've heard as children are still playing in our heads.
Oh, yeah.
And now, the title of your book is The Secret of Transitions. What is the secret?
Don't make me give away the last part, the best part of the book, Davida. I think that almost everyone who reads this book finds, at least my experience is when people email me or write me or call me, is that everyone finds a secret that's a secret for them. You know, there's a new discovery, a new insight. The book was written as a guide to the inside secrets of my transition coaching practice. So I share real-world stories of personal growth and courage, the gifts that people find when there are stories about their own shame and fear and failure are challenged, and what derails successful people and what gets them back on track. But the real secret is really what we've been talking about, Devita, is that all transitions are products of the mind. You know, thoughts are masters of deeds. So we have the power to open our minds, to question and challenge our self-limiting beliefs, to open up new possibilities. So a lot of times people don't realize this, but courage, acceptance, love, and grace aren't innate qualities. They're not something that we have or don't have. They're creations of the mind. And this is the key that people will discover in the book, is how to create their own transitions with courage and vision and purpose.
And how is your book different from the book that's called The Secret?
Well, my book is not about the theme that's The Secret or so many other books are about manifestation. This, you know, that's calling on the power within the universe to bring forth, to manifest. I would call my book more around what my friend Steve Chandler calls the secret of creation, which is how to use your own mind, your own skills, your own thoughts to, one, hold the vision, and go ahead and use and call on all the powers in the universe to manifest, no matter what your faith, religion, or beliefs are, but then use your own skills and courage to create your future.
Okay, and why did you write this book?
Like I was saying, I've seen so many people over the years, hundreds of people that were looking for a job, not their dream. And, you know, I think we've all found that lurking behind our greatest aspirations, there's often resistance. And it's usually, that resistance is usually some form of fear or uncertainty. And it seems like the bigger the dream, the greater the resistance. So, and I think that's only natural, because to transition, we have to leave, you know, a place of safety and the familiar, or what was once safe and familiar. And we've got to fit into a new culture. We've got to learn new skills. We've got to change ineffective behavior. And that can be frustrating and awkward. And, you know, as adults, being aware of our own incompetence or learning a new skill is really uncomfortable. It stops a lot of people. And I know it stopped me more than once. But, you know, frankly, that's really unnecessary. So I wanted to share the proven transition techniques that I've learned over the last 30 years and allow people to coach themselves in a transition.
That sounds really great, because I know in a lot of situations, even today, in what's going on with the political scene, a lot of people just cannot transition their thoughts. They're so ingrained in, you know, a woman can't be president, a woman can't run a company, a woman can't. So I think there is a lot of backlash on what's going on with Hillary Clinton, plus you've got the baggage of her husband and the way people felt about that whole situation. And, I mean, it's a big transition and thought processes going on even now. So how do you help people in transition in your coaching and consulting practice?
Well, as a transition coach, Let me say this, that consultants share their wisdom. A coach is really someone who helps a person discover their own wisdom. And I actually do both. Everything I've learned, everything I've experienced, everything I know is available to my clients. But ultimately, only my clients can know what's most important to them and what they really want. So I help my clients reconnect with their values and their most deeply held beliefs. I help them understand what truly moves them. That's where they discover the courage to acknowledge their gifts, to see their weaknesses, to discover their own inner wisdom and change their lives.
Okay. We all have natural behavior patterns that are unique to us and also affect the job we go into. And how would you suggest or help someone as a coach in helping them understand where they are coming from and how they can build on their strengths and really maximize on it as a coach?
Well, the first part of my engagement, and this is probably very true for the people that you coach, David, I know that you use a lot of assessments, but the first part of my engagement is about discovery and awareness, and I use many questionnaires. I do, you know, a lot of in-depth interviews. I use a wide range of psychometric tools and testing. And I would say at least, you know, one-third of the engagement is really in the discovery process so that the client is really grounded in who they are, where they're coming from, what their current level of thinking is, what their habits of mind are, understanding perhaps how that was formed. I'm not a therapist, so I don't spend a lot of time on the past or healing the past. I'm really about creating a future. But it's always good to know where you're coming from. And so that's, you know, a large part of that early work is discovery, because if you're lost, you know, think about if you're out in the woods, It doesn't really matter if you know where you want to go if you don't know where you are. So the first step in not being lost or getting to where you want to get to is being real clear about where you are in relation to where you want to go.
Okay, there were some really great stories in your book. For example, you tell how one minute you were sitting in the airport ready to interview for a new job, and then you were thrown into transition somewhat unexpectedly. Are transitions typically unexpected, or can we prepare for them?
Actually, both. Transitions can be unexpected, sudden, and swift. Like I said, anyone who lives in the Tornado Alley part of the country knows all about those kinds of transitions. But I think the most powerful transitions are the ones that we choose to make ourselves, when we take matters into our own hands and are willing to stand in that very, very uncomfortable place where we're no longer what we once were, but we're not yet what we're going to become. You know, we're standing sort of in that gap where we've kind of lost our old identity and we haven't formed our new identity. But the people who have the courage to do that and stand in that place and make that transition, I think those are the most exciting and rewarding.
Okay, well, we've got about half a minute left on here, so I'd like to take the time to thank you for joining us, and I'd like to have our listeners pick up your book and tell us where they can pick it up and if they need to, how they can get in touch with you.
The Secret of Transitions is available on Amazon and at bookstores, and also you can go to my website, Secret of Transitions, www.secretoftransitions.com. And there you can find a number of free resources, ebooks, and insider tips for
Radio.
Yep, that was it. Okay, we've got a few more minutes if you want to finish up.
Yes, I've got a number of insider tips and a free ebook that anyone can download for anyone who's interested in transitions.
Okay, and what I'm going to do is go on and download this to my page on my online magazine where people can listen to it there also.
Okay, great.
And you have a nice day.
You too. Nice being with you, Davina.
Okay, bye.